Let me grab this here. You know, your intro is so well done that I'm just going to read that real quick. So
Okay.
I'm going to act like we're starting, and I'm going to say, Elaine Starling, thank you for being on the show. And this title for this show is Being the Center of the Weeble Wobble. And that will become clear where that came from, me, the Weeble Wobble. Elaine Starling is an international speaker, international best-selling author, and a show host and abundance coach. She has an amazing book out, Five Steps to Activate Your Abundance. And she's also the host of the Abundance Journey podcast. And hopefully it doesn't sound too much like I'm reading, but I'm going to read real quickly the intro for Elaine. And it is Elaine Starling, the Abundance Ambassador, empowers successful individuals to move beyond financial achievements and discover deeper fulfillment by aligning their lives with their true purpose. As the host of the Abundance Journey show, an international speaker, TEDx presenter, and best-selling author, Elaine guides spiritual seekers to cultivate a profound connection to the divine, enabling them to restore flow and manifest their dreams. Through her active abundance process, Elaine combines business strategies with spiritual insights, helping you unlock unlimited abundance and create a life of true alignment and joy. And I just read that right off, you know,
You
right.
did
Yeah.
great.
Because, you know, I did a session with Aline, and one of the beautiful things is that she's approachable and you can get a hold of her and you can work with her. You do coaching, right?
Yes, I do. And I
Yes.
love supporting people because you don't realize just how much genius is inside you and how close you are to that tipping point. You feel like you're miles away. I see that you're on the edge of the cliff. And I know how to get you to soar. So, yeah, I love having conversations like this. Craig, this is just so much fun. I'm delighted that you invited me.
Oh, I'm delighted that you're here. Thank you. And I saw you on Brian Scott's, you know, podcast, and that's where I was first introduced to your work, and then got your book, read it, and found that, wow, you can actually contact Elaine and you can get kind of an intro session to see how you can work together. And you know, it was half hour. I got a lot out of it, and I really like people that reply to emails and that you can get a hold of, that you can work with. And it's just always a real, you know, positive thing. You know, people who want to get their message out, they're going to do it, you know, whatever hilltop they can yell it from. They'll do it, you know. And I always find I find that to be great. And so the Weeble Wobble, you know, that's something that came up in our session. And I just thought that was, you know, that actually was so profoundly helpful to me. An incredibly simple, you know, statement and simple idea. But could you describe how we really are the center of the Weeble Wobble?
Absolutely. And I'm sure you've heard of Weebles. It's a baby's toy. It's got a round bottom so that it rolls really easily. And I always say to my clients, we are Weebles. We wobble, but we don't fall down. When we're in alignment, that's when we're vertical. We are in alignment with the God of our understanding, with, I like to say, the divine. And so we're getting the messages. We feel completely aligned between our human selves and our higher selves. And those two are working in concert, collaborating together so that life feels fun and easy and fabulous. And then the divine is continually upping the ante. They're like, okay, how committed are you to this really? And so they throw something, that just pulls you off your game and whoop, you go over sideways. You never fall down, but you do go out of alignment and you're like, ah, what just happened? What's going on here? And then you can use your skills and tools to get back into alignment and notice what is the message that's here for you. Do you mind if I share a quick story
Oh, good.
about that?
Yes, please do. Please
Great.
do.
It's because I'm a human being. And when stuff happens, you get triggered and you have that natural human response. Well, I was running some errands and I was driving my husband's truck. And it's a fairly large truck. And frankly, spatial relations and I have a distant relationship at best. So I'm backing out of this parking spot and going really slowly because I don't want to hit anything. And out of the corner of my eye, I see somebody just flying through this parking lot. I'm thinking, that is not safe. That's crazy. And I'm backing up slowly, slowly, slowly. All of a sudden, somebody honked right behind me. I don't know if they were honking at me or not. I just assumed they were. And I immediately slammed on the brakes and I went from happy, happy, joy, joy to pissed off in a nanosecond, just like boom. The Hulk came out to play. And I'm thinking all kinds of nasty things about that person. They weren't just dropped on their head as a child, they were dribbled repeatedly. I mean, I was just going off. And finally, I heard this, whoa, wait a minute, time out from the divine. And they said, darling, sweetheart, honey bunch, we keep trying to explain to you that everything is designed to be a blessing for you. Absolutely everything is designed to be a blessing for you. And that story that you're making up doesn't sound like a blessing. So we want you to deliberately make up a story where the moral of the story is somebody honking at you is actually a blessing. What would that sound like? And I was a little resistant because I was having fun being really irritated. And I had to think about it. And I was like, well, maybe I was about to hit something. And whoever it was didn't have time to put their car in park, jump out, run around, knock on my window. Hey, lady, you're about to hit something. All they could do to stop the accident was honk. And not having an accident, yeah, extra cost, extra time, inconvenience, all that. Yeah, that's a really nice blessing to not have an accident. And then I thought, well, you know what? They had a different vantage point on my parking space. And I was most of the way out. I thought I wasn't quite there yet. But when they honked, I stopped and I cranked on that wheel and I squeaked out of that parking space. No problem. So maybe it was a thumbs up. You've got this. You're good to go. No need to worry. You can make it happen. And again, they didn't have time to put it in park, jump out, run around, knock on. You're good. Go ahead. All they could do was honk. And I was like, wow, okay. So, maybe it was a blessing. And then all of a sudden, the real message came through. I'm the one who's been blocking my blessings. I'm the one who's been preventing me from receiving the blessings because I've made up stories that turned it into not a blessing. And how wonderful to know that we have the ability to control our experience of the world by deliberately turning everything we experience into a blessing, an opportunity. Because sometimes we are called to practice what we already know, to come from our higher selves, especially when we don't really want to. That's when they're raising the bar. They're like, okay, can you still hold your balance? Or are we going to tip you over a little bit here? So it's a process, it's a journey that we go through. It's why it's called the abundance journey, because your life is a continual unfolding of abundance.
Oh, I love that. And I can relate to that because when I drive around, quite often I got in the habit of just thanking. That you could say thanking God force, thanking, whatever person wants to call it, thank universe, thank you consciousness, that it sends me to take care of people. I go like, this person had to drive through the red light today. They of course they're going to do that. That's like their program today. I must drive through this red light. It's just the thing that they do. And so God sends me to just go, oh, move along, go ahead, okay, I'll go now.
You kept them
And
safe. You
yeah,
did
so I
because
just.
of your generosity. You didn't feel that urge to be right. We are so connected. And when we can allow others to have their way and we can still feel really good about who we are and how we're showing up, we're actually owning our power when we do that.
Really, exactly. So instead of being, frustrated, if we just like sticking to the driving thing for one second, you can just look at it like, hey, I get all these blessings every day because I'm sent to watch out for people. And so when they do, things that aren't exactly, we all make mistakes, I figure I'm just, I'm adding up some good karma for myself. Just being like, ah, thank
Well,
you.
it's so funny since we're on the topic of driving, I have another driving story for you. So it was an early Saturday morning and I was going on my way to Weight Watchers. My husband was driving. He would always go to Lowe's and hang out at the hardware store while I went to my meeting. So of course, I haven't had anything to eat. I haven't had anything to drink. It's really early and I'm a little on the cranky side and I'm trying not to be. I'm trying to be in a good mood. So we're going down this one road and it's wide open. There's all these lanes. It's wide open. There's hardly any traffic, but there will be one stinking car that comes up to the light that's perpendicular. And all of a sudden we have to stop. And this is happening over and over. And you're like every single stinking light. And it's just ridiculous. My husband, I'm seeing his hands on the wheel are getting white. He's gripping it so hard and he's starting to mutter things under his breath. And finally, I said, darling, you know, I'm really trying to stay in a good mood. And so I've decided that every time we have to stop at a red light, it's because there's something there for us to enjoy. There's something there for us to pay attention to. Like, you know, check out the flowers here on the side. That's really cute. You know, maybe we could plant some of those in our front yard. I love how those look. Or hey, how about the kids in the car in front of us? We can make faces at them and be really silly. And that's always fun. Get the kids laughing. The parents have no clue what's going on. That's a riot. You know, maybe it's to see this elderly couple who are holding hands and helping each other through the parking lot. And just seeing them still in love so many years later, you know, someday that's going to be us. It's just so beautiful. We walked, we kept going a little bit, and there's another stop. And I looked over at him, I said, oh, wait a minute. I know exactly what red lights are for. Red lights mean you have to give me a kiss. Awesome, bring it on. I want red lights. Bring the red lights. Lots of red lights. And sure enough, it turns me. I did finally get a kiss. And he finally started to smile and laugh at me at that point. So then we're going along, and sure enough, another light turns red, but we're still quite a ways away. And he starts slowing way, way down. And I'm looking around, like, there's no squirrel, there's no little child chasing a ball. What's going on here? And I look at him. And he's got this little smirk on his face. And I said, oh, you're cheating. You get up to that red light and give me a kiss right now. So now we turn something that could be an aggravation into a celebration. We have that ability. And why not choose to celebrate everything in your life?
And so looking for that blessing in everything, I think, well, we're on our path, and all of us probably have the intentions that we desire set, and we know that we're moving towards those. We're manifesting that. That tends to be a default for, most people, at least people that are a little crazy like myself. You got to have your intentions set, and so you know that. And so you're kind of moving towards that. And if one has confidence in that and has seen those chapters turn, has seen that unfold some, and realized that, fortune comes to us in ways that we never could have predicted, then maybe that makes it a lot easier. You gain that confidence to see all of our struggles as a blessing, as a positive. It's like this struggle must be here, and then you just start to love it.
Yeah, because
I
it's
just
there to get you to recommit over and over and over again. In the wonderful book, Power Versus Force by David Hawkins, he talks about the different levels of consciousness. And he says, as soon as you commit to showing up as love and viewing everything as love, and you're just like dead set, this is who I am. This is how I'm choosing to be forever. The opposite immediately shows up. Why? Because you get to recommit. Recommit. There's always a choice. We live in a world of duality. Our entire lives are duality. You breathe in and then you breathe out. You use your right foot and then you use your left foot. You wake up, you go to sleep. I mean, everything is duality. And we also are dealing with our human selves that are action oriented, getting things done, and our higher selves who are all about being and being aligned with that divine that we know exists, that God of your understanding. And how do we merge the two together so that they work in concert? Because if you're only fixated on your human side and I got to get it done and I've got this deadline and I have to work it, like I have to do this, it's on me. Or the divine side where you're so tapped in and you're in meditation and you're just doing all your spiritual practices and it feels really good. nothing happens in the physical world while you're strictly in that spiritual world. It takes bringing the two together, nesting them together so they collaborate well. That's when you're really in the zone, in the sweet spot, and things start to open up for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And it seems like that's when the guidance happens too, because so when we speak about like being the center of the Weeble Wobble, we get bumped around, and that's just natural. And then when you start viewing yourself as, well, the Weeble Wobble, and that you do just kind of get rocked back and forth, this is natural, this is daily, this is monthly, there's cycles to it. It's like we get bumped around. Most people wake up in the morning, oh, time to go to work, bump. They're going back and forth, but then we start to like appreciate that, and we go, wow. And then we keep returning to that center, and I think you were mentioning how really it's all about getting back to that center quicker and staying there
Yeah,
longer.
it's not about freaking out that, oh, I'm out of alignment. Oh, I'm stressed out about something, and that means I'm a bad person. No, it's deliberate. The divine is deliberately pushing you off center so that you have the opportunity to realign with the divine. One of the most powerful messages that I received during my stroke, when I got to have an incredible conversation with the divine, they asked me a rhetorical question. They said, okay, everything is love. The chair you're sitting in is love. The computer you're looking at is love. You are love. The God of your understanding is love. Everything is love. So, how do you expand love if everything is already love? And I was stumped. I had no clue. And they said, well, we decided to create human beings because human beings don't think that everything's love. They get to experience the joy of contrast, the difference between what is wanted and what is not wanted. And that friction gives you the superpower of choice, where you either step back in fear and try to stay in your comfort zone, or you step forward with grateful curiosity and love. You don't know what's coming. You don't know how things are going to unfold for you, but you are gratefully curious. You're tuned in and eagerly looking for the blessings that are here for you because you know they're there. Every time you lean in with grateful curiosity and love, you are expanding the divine. You are expanding love. This is actually the expansion joint of the divine. This is how the divine grows. And that's why you've been physical many times in the past and you will be physical many times again in the future, because this is the rock star place to be, baby. This is the ultimate in creation. It's kind of like being a surfer. You love to catch the big waves, right? And when they're breaking, you're having a ball, and every wave is a different lifetime. Some of them are a little shorter, some of them are a little gnarlier, some of them are, but it's always interesting and fun and engaging for you. And throughout that experience, you have control over the board and you're engaging with the forces around you, the wind and the water, the waves, and your own sense of balance. And every time you participate, you expand the divine. So how cool is that? But that's really why we're here. That's what we're here to do, is help expand the divine.
Yeah, and I like the way you mentioned the fear is leaning back. Fear is the comfort zone, and I refer to it as the it's the comfort well, it's zone. I also call it like the comfort rut, because it really is. So you're in the com you know, I'm people say I'm stuck in a runt. Runt? No, rut. I'm stuck in a rut. And that's the same as being in your, it really is your comfort zone, is your rut, and that's where you get stuck. And then, like, what do you want to do when you're stuck in a rut? Well, you want to get out of it, and that kind of gets, well, you need to start loving people, loving yourself, that's it. That gets you back into that leaning forward, love zone. And that's really where it's at. And that's, I make it sound very easy when I'm just saying it, but actually doing it, yeah, it's a wonderful practice, and it's a great way to put it.
Yeah,
I've never, yeah.
one of the
Oh, go
things I
ahead.
love to do, I call it celebrating in advance. So I will journal in the morning and I'll think about all these different things that I'm grateful for that haven't happened yet. Like maybe I'm working on a project and I'd really love to learn from a couple of mentors to support me on this project. And so I'll just think, I'm so happy and grateful that I meet a, I get advice and counsel from a couple of mentors today. And then later in the day, I'll be in line at the grocery store and there are total strangers in front of me. I don't know these people. And they're having a conversation. I don't even know what they're talking about, but something they say sparks an idea in me, and they were my mentors. Right? So when you state what you choose to look for, it's kind of like if you've ever looked for shooting stars. I mean, it's pretty basic. You do have to look at the sky. If you want to see a star, you gotta look up. But then once you're looking at one part of the star field, you activate your peripheral vision so that you soften your gaze, and any little tiny stray bit of light grabs your attention so you actually see the shooting star. It's the same thing with blessings. See, we have this unlimited field of information coming to us, and all we have to do is put on this filter that says, here are the blessings I'm looking for today. And then they start to really show up. And sometimes it's a reminder that you're stronger than you think. Sometimes it's a reminder that you already learned this skill. Listening, I'm often reminded, listening's a good idea. And so I get an opportunity to listen with my heart and really be present for other people, right? There's all kinds of different ways that I get to demonstrate spiritual mastery, and it reinforces what I've already learned and inspires new learning at the same time. It's an unending unfolding. I always think of it as kind of like the ultimate infomercial. But wait, there's more.
Yeah. Oh, I like it. Wow. Well, with the Weeble Wobble thing, obviously, which I thought was very impactful, it reminds me of that biblical line, be still and know that I am God. That's how it goes, right? Yeah. Be still and know that I am God. And really, I think that when we just enjoy that realization, that presence, that feeling, so we're not striving to get back in the center of the Weeble Wobble anymore. We just know that we will. And when we're there, now we begin to we recognize it. It's not just by chance. Now we recognize it. So it's almost like our perception just kind of stays there, and it just you just want to be there. You go, I don't want to be like knocked off. And when I am, I'm not going to like pay that much attention to it. I'm just going to say, yeah, okay, I'm wobbling right now, but I don't really care because that's all, no matter what it is, it's superficial,
It's
and
just an
I'm
opportunity to increase love. That's all it is. Oh, good. I get to be love again. It's kind of like you're really good at playing tennis. And so somebody picks you for their team and goes, "Hey, I want you to be the guy at the front of the net because you're so good at that." Right? Whenever you experience resistance, all that's happening is the divine is tapping you on the shoulder and saying, "We'd love to play with you right now. We'd love to collaborate with you right now. You're really kind of stuck in your human side at the moment, and you're focused on what do I need to do? How do I do that?" If those are the questions that are going through your mind, that means you're being led by your human self. And there's nothing particularly wrong with that, as long as you're making space for your higher self to step in and collaborate with you. So take a few moments to take some deep breaths and really reconnect with who you truly are, that divine within. It's so interesting to me. Often people don't think they have much clout. They don't think they really matter. They think like, I'm just little old me. I haven't solved world hunger. I'm not all that. So why would anybody else care, right? What, I don't make an impact. Well, I came across a really fabulous book called Connected. It's got a very long subtitle called The Surprising Power of Our Social Networks and How They Shape Our Lives. Just remember Connected. Brilliant book
Connected.
written by two university professors who were really curious about the 6 degrees of separation and how real is that? And truly, what kind of influence do we have over each other? So they worked with a bunch of grad students and did all this analysis and discovered something called the 3 degrees of influence rule. It turns out that you have influence over your friends, friends three levels away from you. I was like, wow, that's really interesting. I wonder how many people that is. So I asked Dr. Google, and she came back with a recently published article in the New York Times citing some research that says the average American knows about 600 people. And I thought, what? There's no way in the world I know 600 people. So I asked a couple of friends of mine who are very knowledgeable, and they said, oh, that's really low. You know, closer to 1,000. I was like, okay, whoa. I did not do the math. These researchers did the math. So let's just pretend that they have the right number. Who knows? So if you imagine a bullseye where you're at the center of the bullseye and there are three rings around you, that closest ring are the 600 people that you know. Well, every single one of those 600 people knows 600 people. That's 360,000 people in your second ring. And every single one of those 360,000 people knows 600 people. That's 216 million people in your third ring. So, according to these social scientists who did all the research, everything that you think, feel, say, and do ripples out to 216,360,600 people. You being you at your highest self is the most powerful and wonderful thing you can do for this planet. Now, that's not the freaky part. Here's where it gets freaky. They actually measured the level of impact you have. And it turns out that when you're having a great day, those 600 people in your first ring are 15% more likely to have a great day just because you're having a great day. And the 360,000 people in your second ring are 10% more likely to have a great day when you're having a great day. And that 216 million people that you're convinced there's not a way in the world, oh yeah, they're 6% more likely to have a great day just because you're having a great day. And you know what? If you're not having a great day at this particular time, don't worry about it. It's kind of like dodgeball. Nobody wants it. They're all ducking and weaving, right? And the most important thing to remember when you are not having a great day is that you're connected to 216,360,600 people, and somebody in that network is having a great day. And now our energy is connected. Any podcast you've ever listened to, any show you've ever watched, any book you've ever read, you are connected to the people who are involved in creating that. Our energy literally gets entrained. So leverage that for your own use. When you do start to wobble off center, think of someone who tends to be very aligned and upbeat and happy, and reconnect with that energy and allow yourself to be pulled in to that space again.
And you mentioned, well, how do I put it? We listen to some people is because they feel good. That's one thing about podcasts, I think, especially, is like we'll say, well, why do I, like we'll have favorite podcasts we listen to. And if you had to put your finger on it, well, why do you listen to it? And you go, I just feel good. It's just listening to that person, I just feel good. And so it's true. That person is having that good day, and you listen to it, you're just connecting to that energy that you like. And then I think it's really, even though we're messing with time here, it's going both ways. Even though you're listening to it later, you're affecting them while they're doing it. And, it's like, so yeah, it really is. We have much more effect than we think that we do. I'll have to check out Connect It. And also, what you said reminds me of a concept, Stuart Wilde. He was a great writer and a speaker back in the day. And he had this concept of the unknown sage. And he was like, when you're turned on, when you're having that good day, when you're spiritually present and you walk through the world, you have an effect that you never or you're even aware of. And so it's very, very true, So it's good, be that unknown sage. And so meditation, one thing about being in the center of the Weeble Wobble and just enjoying that and being there and realizing that's where the peace comes. Well, also, like what else comes from there? I look at it like I think we have insight, that's where our intuition comes. But also, when we spend time getting to know that consciousness, that presence, that's where a guidance comes from that we begin to, I would, trust because you start to see it in action. So, like, can you speak to that at all? Like the intuition, the guidance we that comes from that presence as we cultivate more time there. And when we swing by, even on a bad day, when we're aware, we go, I'm present. Okay, now I'm going back over here. Present. Okay. Only, but but for those moments that you're there, wow, so much divinity comes from that moment.
Absolutely. Well, I would love to do a quick exercise
Yes.
with you, and I'll invite everybody who's listening or watching to play along with us, especially if you're not driving, because the tendency is to close your eyes as you do this. So, all we're going to do is we're going to take three long, slow, deep breaths together. And as we breathe in through the nose, think the words, I am. And as we breathe out through the mouth, think the word, consciousness. Let's breathe together three times. Breathe in, I am. Breathe out, consciousness. Breathe in, I am. Breathe out consciousness. Breathe in, I am. Breathe out consciousness. And as we rest here in this beautiful, infinite space of divine grace, you can feel how very deeply loved you are. You are cherished and valued for being exactly as you are right now. Soak in that awareness, this beautiful, effortless grace is inside you at all times. This is the truth of who you really are. Take another deep breath in. And when you're ready, open your eyes and return to the room.
Yeah.
It's that easy. You know, that's the thing that I think a lot of people misunderstand. They think that they have to meditate on a mountaintop for years in total silence, or they can't really experience that divine connection. In truth, it's who you are. We just put layers and gunk on top of that. You know, it's really interesting to me that the current research shows the average human has a shorter attention span than a goldfish. And a goldfish starts life all over again every 8 seconds. And with that much stuff bombarding us and trying to get our attention and trying to throw us off track, it's no wonder that we wobble a fair amount, right?
Oh,
Because
yeah.
we're connected and then whoop, you know, and it's yes, you are working on something, and yes, your attention is on something. And when you start with that divine connection and you feel the love and the delight and the gratitude inside you that you get to work on this project and you're going to have a profound impact on the people who experience what you're working on, even though you may not understand exactly what it does for them, just feeling that love that you're putting into what you're doing gets revealed to them on the other end. You know, it's really interesting. My husband and I inherited a very ancient Rolls-Royce, a 1927 Rolls-Royce from my parents, and it was derelict. It was coming apart and not in good shape. And my husband was trying to rebuild it, and he would show me as he would take panels off the body, it's all wood, and you could see where the craftsman had written in pencil different things, and you could see the marks and stuff. And he's like, this is like carchaeology, like cars with archaeology, carchaeology. And all of these experts, it feels like they're right behind me and they're kind of pointing out, see this kid? See what we worked on here? You see this dedication? You see this love? Well, the people who witness what you're working on get to experience your love too. For
Oh, wow.
centuries, for generations, what you do ripples out beyond you. So when you approach what you're doing with that level of gratitude and appreciation that your skills, your abilities are going to make a profound difference to others, you're having a blast doing what you're doing. And that's the feeling of really being in alignment while you're working. I call it, yeah, baby, energy, because you're
Yeah.
excited, you're delighted, you're not trying to control everything, you're in the moment with that grateful curiosity, witnessing the blessings that are unfolding for you. You know, you're in the middle of a project and now you need something else. So you go search online and boom, the perfect thing comes up, right? We've all experienced that. You have access to resources beyond imagining. How exciting is that?
Oh yeah, and graceful curiosity, and that's such a important thing. You know, it makes me glad. Here's the thing that I have gratitude for. You know, I'm grateful that I'm not younger. Because that's people will say, "What?" And well, because I had the blessing of growing up, I'm just 54, you know, but I had this blessing of growing up when the world was analog. You know, there were records. Then there was 8-tracks. There was t cassette tapes. You know, I'm not quite old enough for reel to reel. You know, we had one, but that, you know, that was fun to play with. My dad was an electronics technician. He had a lot of old stuff, these old beautiful vacuum tubes and things like that, and oscilloscopes. And so, you know, the phone, when I was younger, you know, like you had the rotary thing and you know, push buttons were kind of new, you know, cable TV was like a box with buttons on it. I mean, all these beautiful and cars had carburetors. I mean, there was like, it's beautiful. And so, you know, to have lived in that analog life, you know, and to have had an interest in physical dexterity and like working on, I love to work on cars, you know, even when I was young, working on metal and working on cars So it's an incredible advantage. I'm grateful to be a little older because like now younger people, they're kind of born and there's just this explosion of information, you know, where I can deal with it. It's fun, but I do go, man, I sure am glad that I like, you know, it's neat to be pre-internet. To be like, I lived a lot of life before the internet existed. And like to not have, and to have come along after it was already mature and happening. It's like, wow. Yeah, it's a, not even sure I'm going with all that, but
It
wow.
gives you an appreciation, and
Yeah.
it's witnessing the unfolding, and the level of innovation is increasing at such an incredible speed. I mean, it's
Yeah.
amazing what we're discovering. I'm trying to remember what it's called. It's, oh shoot. They've now figured out how they can grow food, and it's targeted fermentation or something like that. It's where they can be very specific about the kind of fermentation that they're doing in vats, and they can actually create things that are like a meat substitute, a milk substitute, and they're high quality. They taste just like it. And they aren't as damaging to the environment. I mean, there's so many inventions, so many things that are coming into fruition now that all we have to do is marvel at the amazing opportunities that are there. You know, it's so interesting to me that you are surrounded by tons of information and a lot of it is not very uplifting, right? We're always,
Yeah.
if you watch the news, it is the doom and gloom hour. And I don't know if you've ever heard of something called the 7-day mental diet, but it's a really great thing to try. And this is where you commit for 7 days without fail that you will not expose yourself to anything negative and you will not say anything negative. Or if you do, you immediately repeal it, right? You catch yourself and change it. And so I had committed it and I was doing the 7-day mental diet. And then I'm shown natural disasters. And then I get to overhear people having an argument. And then it's just like one thing after another. And finally, I'm like, okay, what's going on here? And, the divine is going, well, honey, anytime you see something that you don't know how to fix, and you would really like it to get some good energy, we expect you to direct our energy where it is needed most. If you see a homeless person, you see them whole and healed and happy and thriving, and you don't understand exactly how they got there, and you don't have to. All you have to do is envision that and send them love and blessings. You hear about an earthquake and like there's horrible fires happening right now in Los Angeles. Imagine that everyone is okay. They are safe. They are healed. They are whole. Somehow, some way, because of this experience, their lives are enriched and improved. And so you can just envision that for them and send them love and blessings. The divine will do the work. There's a great book out there called The Magic of Surrender by Kute Blackson, The Magic of Surrender. And I love that book. There's a particular story in the book that just blew me away. I call it the tomato juice story. So Kute Blackson's dad was known as the miracle minister. He had they started in Ghana, that's where they were from, and then they moved to the UK and were living in London, and they had over 200 churches in Ghana and throughout the UK. And every time the miracle minister would preach, people were healed of cancer. Somebody who was paralyzed would be able to move. I mean, it was crazy stuff happened all the time. And Coote grew up in the church. He witnessed this his whole life. Well, eventually he was an adult and he got a chance to sit down with his dad. And he said, "Dad, tell me about one of the miracles that you witnessed. What happened? What was going on?" And he said, "Well, a few months ago, the king of Ghana was in the UK. He had had a stroke and he was at home. And they asked me to come over and pray over him for his complete and total healing. And so I was in the king's bedroom with his wife, the queen, and we're praying over the king. And I get an image of tomato juice. So I asked his wife, 'Do you have any tomato juice in the house?' And she said, 'Yeah, I think so. Should I bring some? That'd be great.' So she brings a little glass of tomato juice. And as the king drinks the tomato juice, they hear these loud cracks and pops. And all of a sudden, the king jumps out of bed and he's able to move and he's fine. He's not paralyzed anymore. And Coot said, 'Wow, Dad, how did you do that?' And the miracle minister said, 'Well, God healed the king. That part was not me. The part that was me was I stopped having to understand first. I stopped evaluating. I stopped judging. I stopped analyzing. I stopped critiquing. I get a message. I share the message. And once the message is shared, the miracle can happen. So all my job is to get out of the way, let the message come through, and whatever that is, even if I feel a little goofy, happen to have any tomato juice on hand, I'm still willing to ask for tomato juice because that's the vehicle the divine wants to use. And I'm just here to be the conduit for the divine. And I thought that was absolutely brilliant because you don't realize what your participation, what your commitment is doing in the world. You only see one tiny sliver from your perspective. From the divine perspective, they see everything and they see how what you're doing makes a massive difference. So never underestimate yourself and be committed to being your best and highest self as often as possible. Yeah, you'll wobble, but just wobble right back.
Well, commitment is a great word for that. It's the universe recognizes and amplifies intent,
Yes.
and if you've made that commitment, then yeah, of course, so much is going on. Yeah, it's true. We tend to think that our world is small and our impact is small, but I think that like I used to believe that, oh, if people just knew the truth, like coming from like an alternative media standpoint, like if people just knew the truth, then it would change things. Then I realized it doesn't make a difference.
No.
On a worldly 3D level, that's about everybody knows the truth. They just ignore it. But the truth is, I realized now, is that it's really what I was always looking for is as consciousness changes, then the world changes. And that's what I was looking for. That's what I wanted to do. And luckily, I was led to like knowing, getting that real understanding was that it's like, no, it's not intellectual. Nothing intellectual will make the world a better place, but consciousness, that deeper connection, then all things will flow from that. And how it will become better, how it becomes more harmonious, it's almost really not my problem. I just know that it will, you know?
Yes, and you hold that vision. It's so interesting.
Yes.
One of the messages that I've received over and over again from the divine is we are guiding you
Yes.
and you are guiding us. We are guiding you to fulfill your intention, and we expect you to direct divine energy where it is most needed. Whenever you see someone who needs support and help, and frankly, everybody does. It doesn't matter who you're talking to. There's something in their life that is a challenge for them. Why? Because we're Weebles.
Yeah.
We are supposed to have challenges, and it's all in how we respond to those challenges with a sense of humor and looking for the blessings that shifts everything. So when you can make things lighthearted, when you can laugh at things. It's so funny. I experience the divine as effervescent joy, just over the top, happy, excited, delighted, silly, playful. And they're constantly getting after me to lighten up, honey. Life is supposed
Yeah.
to be fun. And when you are willing to step into fun, you're actually much more productive. I was fascinated. There's been lots of different studies done, primarily with children, but they tried a study where they had two different groups of kids and they wanted them to learn the same thing. So they had one group of kids that was in a traditional educational environment where it's mostly repetition, trying to get you to learn. And then the other group of kids, it was a whole play experience. So it was a game that they got to play. And the kids who had to do the traditional way, it took 30 times longer for them to really grasp the concepts and understand what was going on, as opposed to the kids who were playing. So you think that, oh, but I shouldn't do that. I have to be serious and logical and really organized and professional. Yeah, and lighten up and have a good time. Because the more playful you are, that's the other thing. I decided I am no longer going to work. I'm not, Craig. I just refuse. Because work to me has a subtext of I have to, and
Yes.
it's all on me, and I have to figure it out. But when I play, it's completely different. I get to, and I get to play with other people, and we collaborate together. And it's just like stone soup. Your individual contribution ends up so much better than what you could do on your own. So when you're open to being lighthearted and playful and committed and passionate and in action, that's the sweet spot. That's really the sweet spot. And embrace those wobbles. Laugh when you go off track. Notice that you've gone off track and go, yay, the divine believes in me. This is an opportunity for me to be the love that I truly am, regain that center, that alignment, and expand the divine. How cool is that?
Oh, absolutely it is. Yeah. There's a great saying in India that I'm reminded of is, what does a flute know about music?
That's so true. Yeah, so
Yeah.
true.
So just let yourself, well, be played by consciousness. And it's a wonderful thing. And also with the car that your husband is working on and, loving something that you're working on, I think there's a huge power that comes from when we change our internal narrative, especially when it comes to working, rather than I have to, no matter what it is, just say I want to. Like, I want to see this work. And I think that so much of our life can become a stewardship to something great. So, a classic car, that you're rebuilding. Well, it was built, like, you can look at this thing and say, you know what? I know the people who designed this and who built it, they felt beautiful. and they made something beautiful. And that has an importance in this world. And I am its steward. I take care of it. And that's a great blessing. I was given this. And it comes from, then you stop going like, I have to sand all day to so I want to sand all day
It's,
because
I get to share this experience with my
yes.
husband and with these
Yes.
incredible artisans who came before me, who are long
Yes.
gone, and yet their spirit lives on, and I get to
Yes.
witness their genius. How cool is
Yeah.
that? I mean, that's the vibe that I get into. And then I can admire the beauty of the wood itself. It's beautiful ash that has been
Yeah.
aged for years. And then it's really interesting because it looks like the Munster Mobile. And so you would think that it's really boxy looking. There are no right angles. Everything comes in with a curve. Everything does. And so it's very complex. And how they put this together with the tools that they had available in the 1920s is like mind-blowing. It's just the level of skill is so inspiring, right? So I can take that kind of an experience and then go back to my life and my world and my projects and be inspired in what I'm doing. I can pick up that inspiration in anything. I can take a walk in nature and look
Yes.
at the beauty of the leaves on the trees. And there's that certain, I call it the time of light. And it's called the golden hour. It's often in the morning during sunrise, and then as the sun is starting to set, and the sun hits just the right way, and it turns the leaves kind of gold. It's like butterscotch. Everything's bathed in butterscotch, and it's just gorgeous. And you witness this, and we have this opportunity to be the witness and be in gratitude and appreciation for what we are witnessing. And that space of gratitude and appreciation, that is an incredibly creative space. That's when you are attracting everything you want into your life. So it doesn't matter if you're feeling really stuck on your project and you're frustrated and it's just driving you nuts, the kids are going off and you just can't handle it anymore. Take yourself someplace where you can find something to be grateful for and to appreciate. Like nature is a really great resource. Fun music, put on some fun music and dance. Use your body and feel the energy in your body. Or take those three deep breaths. Breathe in, I am, breathe out consciousness, and get back into that space of infinite divine grace. It's there for you whenever you want it.
Yeah, it absolutely really, really is. And confidence to be crazy, to be aware, to be awake, as we kind of come close to the end now, I thought, one thing that I really liked when you're talking to Brian Scott was how you, when you came to your insights, through having a stroke, and then, basically instantly healing from it, you didn't really tell anybody for a while because it takes a bit of confidence to be crazy. I say crazy.
It was really wild. It was really wild because during my stroke, it was awesome. It was amazing. I felt like I was inside this massive cloud and I was part of it and it was part of me. And every time I would ask a question, the message was back in my body, like instantly, past, present, future, 360 degrees, sounds we can't hear, colors we can't see, beyond human comprehension, just everything all at once. It was like swallowing Google whole all at once. Boom, in my body. And I was asking all these different questions. And so here I am repeatedly swallowing a different Google for every single question. And then I come out of my stroke with no damage. And it was so freaking amazing and miraculous. I didn't quite believe it. It's like, did that really happen? Really? To me? Why would that happen to me? Oh, come on. I'm nobody special. Seriously? And there were some other issues going on with family members who were not very well. And so I didn't want to rock the boat with what my experience had been. So I didn't share with anybody for 3 years. I didn't even tell my husband for 3 years, but I kept getting messages. I kept getting messages. And it was really clear that something profound had shifted. And so I got to accept my new reality, which is, I truly am in collaboration with the divine. All of us
Yeah.
are collaborating with the divine, every single one of us. And it was really interesting. Just a few months ago, I was in my kitchen washing dishes, and I was just musing over, sometimes you're working on a project and it comes together easy peasy, no big deal, just a snap, it's all done. And then there's other times you're working on a project and you hit roadblock after problem after challenge after issue. It just is going nowhere fast. And it's so frustrating. And I was musing over, I wonder why that happens. And I immediately felt and heard a very loud, forceful voice in my body that said, when you deny your power is denied to you. When you acknowledge your power is shown to you. You are more powerful than you can imagine. I was like, whoa, I dried off my hands. I go write it down. I'm like, how am I denying my power? What am I doing that's accidentally denying my power? And often it's the words we use, and we don't really pay attention to our words, but our words carry a lot of energy. And I've got a really quick example for you.
Yes.
During my stroke, I have never felt such amazing unconditional love in my life. It was like a Niagara Falls of love. It was so beautiful. And I've had great relationships. I have a wonderful relationship with my husband. This was a cut above, let me tell you. And so I came out of the stroke and I'm like, that freaking rocks. I'll take more of that unconditional love all day long, forever, hold the stroke. But I want that. And I did all this research and everything said, allow. You just have to
Yeah.
allow. You have to open yourself up and allow the messages to come through, allow the words, allow the blessings. And so I was allowing my little heart out. And, every once in a while, I'd get a message and it felt great, but it was a lot closer to a leaky watering can than Niagara Falls. And I was getting a little frustrated because I wanted the volume. I wanted to bathe in this stuff. And so I'd done my meditation. I'm sitting for guidance and I'm writing it. I'm a little chapped, frankly. And so I'm writing with some attitude, why isn't this allowing thing working for me? Because I'm pissed off. And I immediately got this message back. What's the image that comes to mind when you think of the word allow? I never put anything on anybody else. I just want you to understand my story and feel the
Yeah.
energy. So as soon as I got that message, what's the image that comes to mind? I saw myself behind a door with a chain on the door, and I'm peeking out the door at the divine, and I am freaking terrified because I don't know what's coming. I don't know what to expect. I don't know how to control it. And suddenly I thought, you know what? For me, the word allow is a mind-based word. And my mind wants systems and processes, cause and effect, a logical sequence of actions that has a guaranteed outcome. That's what my mind wants. Well, I can't have that with the divine. It's so beyond human understanding. Obviously, that's not the right word for me. And so I thought, I need to find a heart-based word, one that really represents the kind of relationship I want to have with the divine. It wasn't obvious. I had to think about it for quite a while, but I finally realized my word is welcome.
Welcome.
So I just
Yeah.
want you to feel the energy between allow, maybe I will, and maybe I won't. It's all about control for me in the word allow. There's a lot of control and a lot of human, I'm in charge of the divine, throwing my weight around. Yeah, right. Nice try. That doesn't go very well. Or welcome. As soon as I went with welcome, I took the door off the hinges and chucked the door. I didn't need it anymore. I don't have to control anything. I don't have to understand what's coming. And that was the real message of the tomato juice story, too. I don't have to understand it. All I have to do is declare my power. I am a conduit for the divine. I am writing a New York Times bestselling book. I am hosting a top-rated podcast. Whatever it is that you're doing, state what you are doing. I am creating this. And you don't know how your power will show up. It's all it takes is one phone call. All it takes is one conversation, right? So you are in the zone, enjoying the zest of your creation, putting your love and enthusiasm and passion and play into your work, the outcome, not work. And and the things open up for you that you could never have anticipated. So yeah, pay attention to your words. They really represent the energy that you're broadcasting.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's so true. Yeah, I think my word for allowing is expecting, actually. I just have come to expect it, you know. So, and that's fair enough, you know. It's like I expect it. Come along now. You know. Yeah. Well, this is awesome because, you know, I think that I don't know, at least I noticed a lot of people are sort of looking for hope. I've noticed that the last couple of years, people are like, I just want hope. I want something to believe in. And they're looking out there and I'm like, yeah, you know what? I used to think so, but it's here. And then just spend time in that presence, in your own consciousness, in the center. And like we've been talking about, all things will come from there and just be easy on yourself, you know?
Yeah, they really do. You know, there's a simple little exercise that I've started doing all the time. I usually tell people what I'm up to before I do it so they don't think I'm completely nuts. But I like to, before a meeting or whatever, I'll say, I'm so happy. I'm so grateful. I'm so blessed. And you can feel the joy in my voice, right? I feel it in my body. And that is what I'm putting into the mirror of the universe. And that is what gets reflected back to me nanoseconds later. So every time I show up with that energy, I'm so happy. I'm so grateful. I'm so blessed. There's more for me to be happy about, more for me to be grateful for, more blessings for me to witness and enjoy. Think about your energy. What would you like to put into the universe mirror?
Yeah. And like the great Joseph Campbell said, you know, as we follow our bliss, doors open for us that would have been there for no one else. You know,
So
there,
true.
it's so essential. Your bliss is so essential to consciousness. You know, and where do you think those whims came from anyway? So, yeah. Oh, wow. Well, of course, everything will be in the show notes, but thank you for being on so much. And Elaine Starling, where can people get a hold of you? Of course, it'll all be linked to, but your main site is.
It's called theabundancejourney.com. So if you type that in, you are bound to find me. And that's also the name of my show, theabundancejourney.com. And you can find the show there too.
Yeah, and your book is amazing. I wish I could
Thank
hold I
you.
wish I could hold it up, but you'll hold it up. Yeah, my copy, it you know how books are. They disappear before the show. They go and they hide. I'm sure you've
So
had
true. Yeah. I
it
like Kindle books too,
happen.
because
Yes.
I read 4 or 5 books a week,
That's
and I
amazing.
like to highlight certain passages that
Yes.
really speak to me. And if I do that with Kindle, it lets me email those highlights to myself. So then I can copy them into a Word document and I can save them or share them or whatever. And it allows me to collect quotes and stories. And it's so powerful for me. So I love electronic books even more than the physical books. But yeah, this is available as a paperback, as a Kindle book, and also as an audio book on
Yes,
Audible.
and the Audible version is great. I read it and I listened to it. And the Kindle, you know, one last thing about the Kindle that I like so much is you can sort of, so you had an interest in this book, then you can say, show me the most highlighted, that feature, and you
Yep.
can see what are other people thinking. And then of course, as you're reading, you can see a lot of people highlighted this. They think it was cool too. So it makes the old school analog act of reading, you know, which is beautiful. Now it's interactive. You go, oh, you know, like 300 people thought this was cool too. You know, I think I'm gonna like grab this. I'm gonna send it to everybody. I'm gonna, yeah, it's wonderful. It's like we used to have the rotary phone. Now we can just basically send, you know, quotes to people, like send it,
That's
you know?
right.
Yeah, it's
That's
so
right.
wonderful. Wow. Well, thank you for being on Radiant Creators. Thank you so much, Elaine. This one was recorded, of course. When I get this up, I will send you a link. And thank you so much again.
Oh, thank you. What a blast. I really enjoyed this. Thank you for
Oh,
inviting me.
me too. Thank you.
Awesome.
Bye-bye.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.